Hello, and welcome to Words of Wisdom, a podcast dedicated to reflecting on the wisdom of the Book of Proverbs. Your host is Dr. Jerry Weirwool, who will share life-giving truth from Proverbs that will help us become wise and discerning. Wisdom is a journey, and we hope you will join us for this exciting adventure.
Proverbs chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 says, "Then you will understand righteousness and justice and integrity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you, and discernment will guard you." Since chapter 2 is one long wisdom speech, we need to get situated where we are at in order to make sense of what these verses are saying. Chapter 2 has been an appeal from Solomon as a father to his son for him to desire wisdom. And in verse 3, Solomon lists several conditions necessary in order for his son to obtain wisdom. Solomon exhorts him that if he will call out, if he will raise his voice, if he will seek and search, then his son will understand the fear of Yahweh and find the knowledge of God. In verse 6, Solomon further explains that the source of the wisdom that he is insisting his son strive after is, in fact, Yahweh. Solomon's words are not the source of wisdom for his son. Indeed, they contain wisdom, but more importantly, they lead the son to the fountainhead of all wisdom, for Yahweh gives wisdom. What we find here when we come to verse 9 is an additional result of the conditional statements listed in verses 3 and 4 about the son pursuing wisdom. If you receive, if you call out, if you raise your voice, if you seek and search. Well, verse 5 gave the first result. Then you will understand the fear of Yahweh, and you will find the knowledge of God. Well, here in verse 9, we're given another result for Solomon's son, as he is encouraged to seek after wisdom with perseverance and passion. If he does this, then he will understand righteousness and justice and integrity. This second result mentioned in verse 9 is not something entirely distinct from verse 5, for understanding the fear of Yahweh entails knowing that Yahweh commands his people to live with righteousness, justice, and integrity. These three godly virtues are just an expression of what it means to live with the fear of Yahweh. These three alone don't make up the totality of the fear of Yahweh, but are examples and represent what constitutes every good path that comes from knowing wisdom. Knowing every good path doesn't imply that there are actually multiple different good paths that are exclusive to each other, and you can simply choose to walk upon one of them, but then ignore the others. Rather, the various paths, such as righteousness, justice, and integrity, refer to the aspects of life that align with walking on the road of wisdom. We can think of the road of wisdom as being the major highway that the book of Proverbs is leading us to take in life. But on the highway of wisdom, there are many different lanes in which one can travel at any given moment, and each lane is not in conflict with the others. All the lanes on the highway of wisdom run in the same direction and lead toward the same destination. In fact, to travel upon the road of wisdom means to travel along all of the lanes together. And thus, the description of the various good paths that one will understand if they seek wisdom are all part of the road of wisdom that teaches a person to live with the fear of Yahweh and leads toward life. And just like in verse 6 that describes how Yahweh will give wisdom to those who diligently seek for it, verse 10 also conveys how a person will receive wisdom. For it says, "Wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." Why does Solomon tell his son that wisdom will come into his heart? I thought that the son was supposed to seek wisdom. What does that mean? It means that if the son seeks to truly know wisdom, then it will not just be intellectually received by him, but it will take up residence in his innermost being, that is, his heart. It will transform his character and behavior, a process that will alter all his attitudes and perceptions. Moreover, the knowledge that the son will receive through wisdom is said to be delightful to his soul. Now, this isn't just any sort of knowledge. It's not knowledge about history, science, politics, business, etc. This is knowledge about moral virtue and walking upon every good path. It is referred to as the knowledge of God in verse 5. This knowledge that wisdom brings is described as being pleasant to your soul, meaning it will be appealing and delightful, something entirely enjoyable and satisfying. Lastly, Solomon chooses two particular qualities that are considered part of wisdom and depicts them as being protectors and guardians over his son. Verse 11 says, "Discretion will watch over you, and discernment will guard you." The ideas presented here are similar to what is said of wisdom in chapter 4, verse 6, which reads, "Do not abandon her," referring to wisdom, "and she will watch over you. Love her, and she will guard you." Discretion and discernment are not simply synonyms for wisdom, but rather can be viewed as constituents of what make up wisdom. What does it mean to be wise? Well, it means to have knowledge, prudence, discretion, discernment, insight, understanding, and so on. Regarding verse 11, one question that we might ask is, what is the difference between discretion and discernment? The Hebrew word translated discretion means purpose, plan, cleverness, or scheme, and it can be used in a positive or negative sense. Here, as a characteristic of wisdom, discretion carries a positive connotation and can be defined as private, unrevealed thought, the ability to think for oneself and to keep one's own counsel. Discretion consists of thinking through the ramifications or consequences of an action before choosing what to do. It is basically contemplating the circumstances instead of acting rashly or without perceiving the likely outcome. And so discretion involves carefully considering things in your mind in order to make a sound decision after thorough deliberation. Secondly, discernment is similar to discretion, but carries a slightly different nuance. The Hebrew word translated discernment means understanding, skill, intelligence, and aptitude. We can think of discernment as good practical insight and understanding about a matter. It is being able to correctly perceive what is going on in a circumstance and then know how to properly respond. Furthermore, discernment can be described as being able to make a correct judgment about the nature of a situation or person, and to see through lies and deception to the truth of a matter. Now, it isn't too hard to see why these two qualities of wisdom are highly prized by Solomon and are what can serve and benefit his son if he will pursue wisdom with determination. Given the advantage that these qualities bring to a person, it is fitting that they are personified as being an overseer and guardian. If his son will receive wisdom, let it come into his heart, then he will possess discretion and discernment, which will protect him from evil, temptation, and foolishness. But wisdom is not an automatic safeguard against recklessness and imprudent decisions. Discretion and discernment will serve in these capacities to shield a person from such consequences, but only if they will listen to wisdom. Finding wisdom isn't a single one-time event or something which a person attains and then is all set for the rest of their life. Rather, finding and listening to wisdom is a lifelong journey and process, and one that each of us must continue to pursue each day if we desire to be wise and to live with the fear of Yahweh. In order to illustrate this section of Proverbs, I want to tell you about the company Netflix, and the story of how using discretion and discernment saved this company from bankruptcy and launched it into one of the most popular video entertainment companies in the world. Netflix was started in 1997 by Reed Hastings and Mark Randolph in California, as they aspired to enter the video entertainment market and compete with large companies like Blockbuster, Family Video, and other video rental stores. Originally, the business model was based on sending DVD rentals through the mail to customers. The value add of this model was the convenience of saving a person time and energy by not having to leave their home and travel to a store to rent a movie to watch. After just 3 years and with the company in financial straits, Netflix co-founders Hastings and Randolph decided to try and approach Blockbuster and make a deal to sell the company. They met with the Blockbuster CEO, John Antioco, in Dallas, Texas, and proposed that they buy them out for $50 million. Antioco was not in the least interested. and Hastings and Randolph returned home, despondent and exasperated at what to do. For the next several years, Netflix continued to grow slowly, and Hastings and Randolph began thinking of what the future holds and how Netflix can serve that market. Then Netflix went public in 2000, and only 2 years after that accomplishment, co-founder Mark Randolph decided to leave the company and focus on other ventures. Well, as technology developed and online streaming capabilities grew more and more popular, like YouTube, Vimeo, and others, Hastings had a vision for how Netflix could be a premier internet media company that offered movies for people to watch online instantly, like they could with cable TV. Netflix wasn't the first company to innovate this idea. Other companies had already beaten Netflix to the market and were offering online streaming. However, the inherent limitation in internet bandwidth at that time prohibited instant streaming. Customers had to wait sometimes hours to buffer or download a movie in order to watch it. Therefore, Hastings knew that Netflix had to wait until broadband internet speeds could handle instant movie streaming. Internet speeds were doubling every 18 months, and the cost of internet service was going down 50% at about the same rate. At the right point, it would be feasible for customers to enjoy watching movies online instantly, and it would be economically favorable for Netflix to enter that market, rather than continuing to pay for postage by mailing DVDs. Well, that time came in 2007, when Netflix first began offering subscribers the option of streaming licensed movies and a few TV series on their computer. Because Hastings had waited until the right time to launch Netflix's online streaming service, the technology and the market demand met together in a powerful opportunity for Netflix to quickly become one of the most popular online video entertainment companies. And as DVD sales continued to drop from 2007 to 2011, online streaming services like Netflix became more and more popular. The competitor that Hastings and Randolph had approached years earlier, Blockbuster, who had decided to stay with the traditional video store rental model, soon began to find sales plummeting. Demand for DVD rentals began to fall drastically over the subsequent years, and they began to close store after store until they had to declare bankruptcy in 2010. All the while, Netflix began to soar to new heights. In 2013, Netflix would enter the entertainment production industry by releasing its first original series, House of Cards. Since then, Netflix has become a giant in the movie and TV industry, where they are projected in 2021 to produce over 80 original films and 700 new TV series. Netflix has become the largest entertainment media company in the world. They have over 203.7 million subscribers as of January 2021, with only 71 million of those being in the United States. And they are currently achieving over $1.2 billion in annual operating revenue. While the type of wisdom that Proverbs offers doesn't directly deal with such business decisions as when is the right time to enter the market, like in the case of Netflix, it does prove a point that relates to using wisdom and how discretion will watch over you and discernment will guard you. Remember that discretion deals with carefully thinking through a course of action and the associated consequences that will entail. And discernment is about having good, practical sense about a matter and correctly perceiving what is going on in a circumstance so as to respond appropriately. Discretion and discernment help safeguard a person from making rash and foolish decisions or being blinded by other desires and influences. Whether we're talking about making an important business decision that could impact the future of a company, or whether we're talking about deciding when or where to move for a job or for the well-being of our family, or whether we are talking about not running with the wrong crowd at school or in our neighborhood. Wisdom is a powerful ally that will help us make good decisions and avoid foolish mistakes with the pain and trouble that they bring. So let's hold on to wisdom and let her into our heart so she can be our protector and guardian. She will watch over us and take care of us if we will seek her, listen to her, and learn from her how to become wise. This is the wisdom of the proverb.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Words of Wisdom podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we would be so appreciative if you would share this podcast with your friends. And if you have been blessed by this work, please consider supporting the podcast by clicking on the donation link in the description.